Welcome to Welch's Fruit SMR. Enjoy the big, bold, vibrant sounds of real fruit. Orange, pineapple, apple juice. Strawberry spread. Sparkling rosé. Made with real fruit for a taste as bold as you.
Welch's, let's fruit stuff up.
Michael Orr, former NFL standout, author of a brand new book, When Your Back's Against the Wall, Fame, Football, and Lessons Learned from a Lifetime of Adversity. Michael Orr, longtime Raven, now author. And of course, he was the subject of The Blind Side, the movie.
Yes, sir.
Same guy. Great to see you.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me, Bill.
I do want to talk football, but first I want to talk about you. With the movie in particular, did it roughly tell your story? I know you didn't love the way the movie came out, but were you happy with the fact that Michael Orr's name got out there and what you overcame to be what you became?
No, I'm thrilled to have a movie made about me. It's surreal, actually. I think what it did was gave me a position to be in, and that I'm honored to be able to motivate and inspire generations behind me. Other things led to me, saying what people may think I don't like the movie, but no, being where I'm from, the roads that I had to travel, to have a movie made about you that inspire the world, know your name, you can continue to have a great platform to give back and writing books, When Your Back's Against the Wall, my new book. So, no, it's all good, and I'm still chasing greatness and trying to make it happen.
So your long-term coach was John Harbaugh. So I wrote him last night, and I asked him, I texted him, I said, I know how busy you are, but I said, Michael Orr's coming on, what can you tell me? He said he did whatever the team needed. He treated people so well, especially kids. He was a huge deal while he was here, but always was great with people. Who what struck me was as interesting as his story in the movie was, there was way more there with Mike. Very thoughtful, very smart, much more depth.
That's great coming from Coach Harbaugh. I wouldn't expect anything less from him.
He seems like a great guy.
No, he's a great man, a great guy. Loved playing for him. Hard nosed, my type of coach. Every day is going to be a war out there on the practice field. And, dealing in sports, especially in the NFL, I always hear guys talking about preseason and practice and how, they treated preseason and you got to warm up. And, this game right here, you're only going to play a couple games. And, once the speed's going to change in the once the regular season come around, or the speed changes in the playoffs, the lights get bigger. The speed never changed for me because of Coach Harbaugh. I mean, preseason, it was a real game. Preseason game number two. These were playoff type atmosphere games for us in the trenches, the defensive line, offensive line. We went out there trying to win every game. And that was the Ravens' mentality. That's Coach Harbaugh's mentality. And I know they were on the streak for 16, 20 preseason wins, and that's the mentality he had. Right. And that's what I loved about him. Every day
he was going to be the same. Why the one thing, they were the most consistent winning team you guys were in the NFL. That's why he's got the job for all these years. It's almost unheard of.
I get it, and it's hard to find. He's going to every day it's about fundamentals. It's about technique. It's about being relentless on doing the right thing. And that's why when I talk about football, and it's only going to be a 5-6 teams who's going to be in the running year in and year out. That's because they have that foundation right there.
The organization
from top to bottom who believe in winning.
So your story, you should not have been successful as you were. Tell everybody what you were dealing with as a kid growing up.
First memory at 3 years old, I was being homeless from 3 to 10, in and out of foster care on the streets at 10 years old. I was on the streets for a year alone.
Alone?
Running from authorities because I ran away from foster care at 10 years old. And in order for me to not go back, I had to go house from house, apartment to apartment, couch to couch, because I knew they were looking for me. They finally found me at 11 and put me into a hospital. Probably the best 2-3 weeks of my life, because I had a clean bed. I was had 3 meals a day, could watch TV, movies all day long. So after about 3 weeks, they were going to get, you know, take me somewhere. So I ran away from there. And that's when the journey started. They gave up custody, didn't look for me after that. And the journey really started right there. Started to go to school on my own. I needed a routine because I was tired already at that young age. And that's when this journey really started for me. And I was looking around, and I got some of the principles in my new book and some of the playbooks. And one is looking yourself in the mirror. And I knew at 11 years old, I'd seen so much. I knew no one.
Drugs, violence, guns.
Drugs, violence, everything you can imagine. I knew the people around me couldn't save me. So when I looked in the mirror, I said, it's going to be up to you. You have every answer. You know right from wrong. You have all the tools that you need. And that started with education, going to school on my own, doing the right thing, just doing the opposite what was around me.
And did that come from in you? There's no one who said, hey, this is Michael, this is the right way to do it. These guys don't have your best interests. Going to do things that are going to break the law and get you in trouble is going to be negative. I mean, it seems obvious, but you made that decision on your own at 12?
On my own at 12, 11, 12, because I'd seen so much. I was, like I said, I was tired.
Right.
And I made the conscious decision to just do the opposite.
When did you realize you were smart?
I realized I was different every day as a kid because I wasn't caught up, like you said, in the violence and the gangs and drugs. And I just knew I was different. I realized I was, you know, had a ton of potential in the classroom once I got out to the private school that I graduated from. And I started to excel in the classroom.
Did athletics get you to that private school?
Of course. I think it would have been tough coming from where I came from academically to get in there. So that's what I say in this book as well, meeting people halfway. I had to meet them halfway, you know, in the classroom as an athlete. I understood, you know, I had something to offer and someone else had something to offer. So that's with me. You got to meet someone. You have to bring some to the table if you want to be successful in life. I mean, that's just the reality of it all.
Right.
You know, you have to be doing something positive, and that's just the world, the country we live in.
And then you ended up in a pretty nice situation, right, in high school?
9th, 10th, 11th grade, I was sleeping from couch to couch on the floors. And you're talking about my senior year. I moved in with the Tui family. But before then, you know, I was 18 when I moved in. I was an All-American. Football player when I moved in a couple weeks.
That's
before.
Where there's a little different. The movie in life, so, in Michael or
so. Yeah, a couple weeks before high school, I moved in. So, you know, that's what I want young people to know in this book right here, because they see, oh, you got taken in and they raised you. And no, 18 years old, from 3 to 18, I had went through a lot of triumphs and trials and obstacles to get to that point.
Yeah, I guess you have a choice, Michael. At one point, it's like, life's against me. Life sucks. I don't care. If no one cares about me, I'm not going to care about them. I'm going to do whatever I want. And another, it's the survivor instinct. I'm going to do whatever it takes to be successful. I'm going to show them, right? I'm going to show the world. You're not going to discount me. Do you remember having that moment?
No, that's how I thought as a kid. I thought that I was even, I don't know why I was thinking it, but I thought that I was something special, and I was different. I carried myself that way. I wasn't, if what I was doing wasn't cool, as the kids said back then, that was fine with me. I was going to do what was cool to me. I wasn't going to try to, I was going to be right. the leader. I was going to dictate the way my life panned out. So that was my mindset.
And by the way, not only does your life plan out, you have a great athletic career. You have this moment, February 3rd, 2013, cut 36.
And he booms this one. That takes the Bearcats free kick out of play. And it's him. Again to the 40. Still on his feet at the 50. And the Ravens
have won it. 34-31. The Super Bowl belongs to Baltimore.
What was that like?
Wow, man.
I was on the field that day, chills. By the way, because you guys had the blackout in New Orleans.
It gave me chills right there. I was waiting to lose that game, actually. Once the momentum goes in the NFL, it's gone. You can't get it back. And I was surprised we won it. We were up 30-something to 3 or something like that and winning that game. But it put everything in perspective to me. I just sat there after the game.
Beating the 49ers and Jim Harbaugh.
Great game. Good friend of mine, Patrick Willis, beating him. We went to college together. And, I just sat there and thought. And I thought about what it took for me to get to that point. And football is the greatest game in the world. You sit around as a kid. I can remember paying for, I had to sell newspapers as a kid. And I would pay someone $5 to record the Dallas Cowboys. And I would watch it once I got back home. As a kid.
That's how much you loved the game.
That's how much I loved it. I didn't have anything, but I would pay $5 to for someone to record the Cowboys. We went through so many losing seasons. I'd need my money back. it was just unbelievable for me to know what I went through and hard work. It had all paid off, and it's something that I can't tell you the feeling.
So now that you've had this situation, this NFL career, celebrity, a movie on your life, you have this book out now. It's called When Your Back's Against the Wall, Fame, Football, and Lessons Learned Through a Lifetime of Adversity. Can you still channel that resourcefulness and that grit, even though you don't need it necessarily, in this portion of your life? Do you still that same guy? And is there a fear of losing it all because you know what that's like?
It's a fear every day. That's why I get up. That's why I'm chasing greatness, because, you know, that fear of where I've come from and the fear of putting everything that I've gone through in this book, When Your Back's Against the Wall, for other young people like myself, so they won't have to go through these things, and to have that mentor to show them and that they have great potential when everything else around them is bleak.
If you didn't have the athletic ability, do you still believe you would have broke out?
Well, that's the thing. That was plan B. I didn't want to be a statistic. Being successful for me was having 3 or 4 jobs. And I thought that I can outwork anybody. You know, 5, 6 jobs. I've been working since I was 7 years old. Doing selling.
So you would have been the guy with 3 jobs working.
I'm telling you, I had ambitions of just being successful at something. And, you know, at times, you know, when I look back, you know, sometimes I think football might have slowed me down a little bit to reach my greatest potential. So I've always thought different. I've always, second grade, I get up and do plays in front of the school and speeches and reading and writing. And that's something, you know, people don't know about me. I've always been ambitious and just wanting to be different and want to be successful and just always wanted to be a positive influence on society.
And as you know, there's more than ever, you see so many kids growing up in single parent homes without that mentor or role model. Have you had that experience of going to these schools without that don't have a lot? And what are the kids asking you?
I see it a lot. It definitely saddens me. That's why when I interviewed the kids to come through the Foundation, when I'm partnering with schools to give them a better education and offering them that mentorship and that education in community, that's so important to me. And they ask me, how did I do it? And the most important thing I can tell them is take it one day at a time. Believe that you're something special, and you have to have want to, and you have to take it one day at a time and stack days on top of days, and whatever you want your future to be, you have to change your mindset.
Got it. And it sounds like you made it happen. No one could say, well, I had it worse. Very few people could say, Michael Orr,
I hadn't
had it
met
worse.
Him yet.
Michael Orr, pick up his book. It's now out, written with Don Yeager, a great writer. When Your Back's Against the Wall, Fame, Football, and Lessons Learned Through a Lifetime of Adversity. Got a lot of football in it, but it's mostly about life. Michael, great to finally meet you in person.
Nice to meet you, Bill. Thanks for having me on.
Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.